This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Ben Blumfield. Ben, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Ben, how are you involved with digital asset management?
My only experience in digital asset management is within the world of video. I've worked for a number of broadcasters around the UK, and the use of digital asset management is something which is becoming increasingly important. Where I really started to get involved was when I was head of content management at ITV, and we were looking at what was regarded as the lens-to-lens process, and that's about, at the point of capturing a program, capture it digitally, capture it straight onto disk. It would then be edited on disk. It would then be pushed through the transmission process through to the point of actually being transmitted as a file. I've then moved on to BBC Worldwide, where I'm Director of Global Operations, and where I have a team of 40 staff based in the UK, but also have people dotted around in other parts of the globe who facilitate the distribution of BBC Worldwide's content for the sales and distribution division. Now, we manage the distribution of around 74,000 hours of content. We have about 1,000 customers in over 100 countries around the world. So, as you can imagine, you start doing the maths, it's ensuring that the right programs, we manage some very large kind of international brands like Doctor Who, Top Gear, ensuring that those versions are the correct version for that particular area. They may have a foreign language version associated to them. They may have other additional attributes. They may be photographs, metadata, as in editorial metadata. So it's to ensure that the deals that our sales and distribution business make, and we did about last year, we did in the region of £260 million worth of business, turning a profit around 52 million. So it's a responsibility, that a responsible job, that ensuring that once those deals are done and the customers can then receive their content in the given format.
How does the largest broadcasting organization in the world use digital asset management?
We are wholly owned by the BBC. Our job is to distribute the BBC's content on a worldwide scale. So we invest in the content along with BBC, or we work with our co-producers to then produce the content. And we bring those assets in. We digitize them into a large sound system, which is run by Deluxe Media. So Deluxe is a global digital asset management fulfillment organization. And we store the assets in it within a master file format. So we have a master mezzanine format, which is of the highest quality for the standard definition or high definition files. And we would then forward it onto, given the deal, if we're sending it to a broadcaster or if we're sending it to a VOD platform, we will then use the digital asset management platform in line with a transcode platform to then deliver the end program onto a partner. So those partners could be Netflix, Hulu, or any number of we have over 1,000 customers globally, of which about 160 of those customers receive files in a digital format. Now those digital formats are varying in kind of their complexity. So we have the DAM, which really feeds the transcoding system, which then gives us the ability to deliver to our customers in the given file format that they require. We also have a separate area where we have an internal editing facility, where we have a storage of around 300 terabytes, where we will take those programs in from our master DAM. We may take those assets in, this is where we may cut promos or cut promotional material or additional sales packages, which we then use to help sell our programs internationally. And then the final piece is we have an online platform called the OLC, which is it's the online catalogue for BBC Worldwide. Mm-hmm. And there we have in the region of about 5,500 to 6,000 hours of long form programs, but they've been condensed down into viewable assets over the internet. So they're streamable assets of fairly low bitrate. The buyers are able to watch the videos online, and if they like them, they will then go forward and carry out a sale. So our businesses, we have around 23,000 hours digitized in a number of different areas. We then sell in the region of 74,000 hours of content a year is then licensed. Now, of that 74,000 hours of material, around half of it comes from a digital source. So we may take a digital file, turn it into another digital file, send it to our customer, or we may take a digital file and put it onto a tape and send it to the customer. So that makes up about 55, 54, 55% of our business. So digital asset management plays a huge part of how we do business and how we keep our costs down and help drive our revenues.
How does the organization deal with the long history of analog formats to be converted to digital form for future reuse?
It's a very interesting question. Certainly one that's it's a hot topic for us because we're going through a stage, an interesting stage at the moment, where we're transitioning away from there's certain tape formats which we either choose to digitize those assets or we lose them. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. There's a D3 tape format. There's a 1-inch tape format. And in some instances, two-inch tape formats, which we're currently going through the process of evaluating and to say, okay, so what are the one? There are some instances where we just have to digitize them because if we don't, we will lose them. Then we will lose those that content forever. And there are some instances where there are programs which are looked on which are saying, well, actually, we see no commercial value in keeping this program. There's no historical value in keeping this. So there'll be a decision as to not encode those. But there is, it's really a case of, one, if it's got an historical figure or an historical value to it, we are now reviewing budgets so we can actually then put forward and preserve those assets. The other side is there are programs that we're going through and we know that we can get a commercial sale against. So it's working with our internal partners to say, well, if we work with, so there's 2E, which is another part of the business. If they are willing to work with us, we can co-fund restoration and preservation projects where we could then do a joint release. So we could make it remaster assets, which would be then used for Blu-ray DVD sales, as well as international TV sales. It's a long process. As we've got about 120,000 assets, tape physical assets in our library at the moment. And as I said, those are made up of 1-inch, 2-inch, Beta SP, Digibeta, D3, and HD. And it's really, it's a very slow kind of turning wheel. I'm sure in 15, 20 years' time, we'll most be thinking about how we're going to get rid of our HD cam, SR tapes at the moment. But at the moment, the idea is we digitize the asset. If it needs restoration, there is some digital restoration work that can be carried out to kind of remove some of the older artifacts within the material. And we then store an uncompressed version of that. Now, that takes up a huge amount of space. We're talking anything up for an hour program could take anything up to 200 gigs worth of disk space. So we're then looking to store those assets on either non-spinning disk. So we will put them on an LTO-5 type system. At that point, we will also then create a working mezzanine file. So a file that is regarded as a broadcast quality, either SD or so standard definition or high definition mezzanine file format, which we can then work with in terms of we can then take that mezzanine file and then transcode it onto a lower bit rate or to a specific platform's requirements. The other problem we have is that we have within BBC Worldwide, amazing as it may sound, we don't actually have a single vision of the truth. We have a vast amount number of assets spread across a multitude of libraries. We've got library storage in LA, New York, Germany, France, the UK, Australia, Japan, and Hong Kong. And we have multiple foreign language versions. So that could be a program which has an English language track on it. It could also have a foreign language audio dub on it. It may have subtitles associated to it. It may have a slight different variation or a different edit compared to the main master that was originally produced in the UK. We're going through at the moment a huge piece of work which is about looking at our assets across the globe and evaluating those lists and producing a single vision of the truth. And that's to say, this is what our product catalogue looks like. Let's say we own 120,000 assets. Each asset may have a number of different versions relating to that given title. So we're having to trawl through Excel spreadsheets, Word documents, access databases, and really do a huge data mining exercise to evaluate and organize all that material together. And there's no easy way of doing it apart from drawing in all that information and then finding common fields within that data to then help us evaluate whether or not we should be keeping those assets or whether or not we should be actually, we've got duplications. So the first exercise is to delete the duplication. but ensure that in deleting the duplication, it really is a duplication. So there's quite a lot of just manual thumbing. And then it's a case of evaluating the content in a world of sales, because predominantly, you know, that's what we're all about. BBC Worldwide is about selling content internationally. But at the same time, we have a role to play in terms of the maintaining the historical assets to ensure that nothing is lost. I mean, it's very interesting. We've just been looking at some David Attenborough material, which was shot on 16mm film. And that was shot, I think it was about 30 years ago on film. But when they transferred it onto videotape, they did it in quite a crude manner. So the actual, what was broadcast at the time and what you look at now, it doesn't look great. But we've gone back to the film, we've gone back and we've cleaned the film up. We've dusted it with, they call it dust busting, but it's a removal of any foreign artifacts, and re-telecined that into, or scanned it into a file system. And the quality is phenomenal. By going through and actually trawling these assets, we really are finding that we've got some gems hidden away. We've known there were gems, but it's only when you go back to the actual master source do you realise that it really is fantastic quality. In answer to your question, I guess the organisation, how do we actually deal with the long history of it? We have to understand it first. Mm-hmm. We have to, and that's something which we're only just starting to do. And at that point, we can then prioritise what we absolutely must keep in terms of historical, what we can lose because it's duplicated or it doesn't have a perceived value within the business. Then it's a case of picking the content that is of the least quality first, really. So we know that our 2-inch and 1-inch material, it really is falling apart. It's old magnetic tape that we need to capture and turn into a digital file as soon as possible, or we do run the risk of losing it. And then working through the D3 and then the Beta SP, and then, well, eventually we'll be moving on to our DigiBeta as well. But it's a lengthy process.
That's an excellent example of how do you determine value and what are valuable digital assets. And lastly, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
People wanting to become DAM professionals, certainly within a broadcast environment, the details around the previous question say a lot about what it takes to become a DAM professional. And that is attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And the process of reviewing data from multiple sources to come up with, as I said, this idea of a single vision of the truth, it's the accuracy, needs to be applied when reviewing content. So it's a methodical, patient view, analytical as well, to ensure that where trends are taking place, where irregularities are taking place, where mistakes are being made, they're being picked up. Having a great deal of patience with Excel at the moment is a good place to start.
Yes.
It's amazing how many broadcasts I've, from my previous job working at ITV, where I was head of content management, and now moving to the BBC here, it's amazing. ITV is the largest commercial broadcaster in the UK, and so BBC Worldwide is renowned for being the Europe's largest distributor of broadcast material. So I've come from fairly weighty backgrounds, but those businesses are driven by Excel at the moment. They are going into a world where we're building systems, building new platforms, and that's certainly, we've just announced at IBC this year that we are now partnering with Sony DADC, who are Sony Pictures' chosen partner for distribution of content globally. The relationships that are being forged are based on the fact that we're trying to get away from an Excel business, which is laughable to one degree, but brilliant for Microsoft, certainly. They knew just the strength of those pieces of software for us. But for the professional who is, certainly there is an understanding, as I said, about the patience and accuracy. And there's also having a peripheral technical view on the industry that they choose. And I can't talk for any other industry, really, other than broadcast. There is a base level of understanding within digital and technology that needs to be taken on board. And then there's the broadcast element. You can talk about digital broadcast, talk about editing, you could talk about transcoding. Then you could also get very lost in the jargon. I think, you know, some people that suits them well in terms of they take a given career within their industry. But being able to cut through the jargon and explain it on a simple level, ensure that what they're saying is understood, is, I mean, I think it speaks for a lot of industries, I'm sure, but it's amazing how complicated it can get. But actually, it doesn't need to be that complicated, because you're crossing in so many different disciplines, it does become complicated. And it's how to see the complication, but find the simplistic way of putting that information across to ensure that your point is being made.
Well, thank you, Ben. For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another Damn podcast is available on Audioboo, Blueberry, iTunes, and the Tech Podcast Network. Thanks again.